Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program that addresses the ramifications of change and how today's choices will affect tomorrow's community. This program is an extension of production of Action for Healthy Communities, an organization committed to identifying and carrying out projects that will improve quality of life in San Luis Obispo County. The show's topics and guests focus on raising awareness about local and regional concerns and is made possible through the underwriting by Joan Gellert Sargent. After many decades of decline due to suburban sprawl, downtown communities are being reborn. Across the country, downtowns are once again becoming vibrant, desirable destinations to live, work, and play. The documentary film Urban Century, America's Return to Main Street examines the current revitalization of Main Street America and the significance that downtowns play in their communities and the possibility they may be the key to economic prosperity moving forward. Today's show will focus on America's return to Main Street, and my guests for today's show are Dominic Tartaglia, Executive Director for San Luis Obispo Downtown Association, Jules DeRocher. I want to make you French today, a downtown business owner, the Economic Committee Chairwoman, and a community leader. And our show is live, and we invite you to join our conversation with your comments and questions. And you can do that by calling in at area code 805-781-3875. Again, that's 805-781-3875. And I want to welcome both of you for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So the film, we were talking a little bit before we came on air, Urban Century, America's Return to Main Street, is going to be shown here in San Luis Obispo coming up very soon.
Yeah, next Wednesday, August 10th at the Fremont Theater.
And you were mentioning that this is being shown and you're really going to be seeing people coming in to San Luis Obispo from a variety of different places.
Yeah, we opened up the invitation to anywhere in California. There's a number of other Main Street programs similar to the Downtown Association in San Luis, and we opened it up so that they could have an opportunity to come see the film and bring their community members if they like.
So talk a little bit about the film. What is the film about? I mean, obviously it's about revitalizing Main Street, but talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, well, I'll just give a background. We've seen this several times at Main Street conferences, both National and California Main Street Alliance, and it resonates really well with the people that are in the community at the ground level, with business owners like Jules and managers like myself. From the standpoint of it, shows the hardships that people are facing when they're trying to either move into downtown as a resident or start a business there or have a family there. And it highlights several different storylines of several different individuals from a lot of different backgrounds in places like Flint, Michigan or Macon, Georgia, places that are going through the revitalization of their downtown. It's kind of an interesting – there's several interesting case studies there, but it's just interesting to see the comparisons between San Luis Obispo's downtown and other communities. And I think the film does a really good job of highlighting why people are – making that move from the suburbs back into an urban environment.
So talk a little bit about why you're interested as the Downtown Association Executive Director. What appealed to you enough about this film to want to bring it to the community?
That's a great question. I think it comes from the standpoint of a lot of people take for granted what downtown is or Main Street is. And when we talk about downtown, I'm not necessarily talking about exclusively downtown San Luis, but just in general, people take for granted that it's there and it's vibrant and that there are businesses open and that there's food to eat if they haven't experienced a downtown that has failed as a result of the suburbanization of America. And for me, it's particularly exciting from the standpoint that we get to share that history in a concise 68-minute documentary that really tells the story. And it resonated really well with me, and it resonated with a lot of people that I know have seen the film. And I know Jules, when she saw it, I'm sure it resonated with her as well.
Yeah, what's nice about the film, it kind of gives you a background why there was a decline in downtowns, so what made that happen, and then why it's coming back, the economic benefits from it, the health benefits from it, and the environmental benefits from it. But what we hope to gain by having the film is to create dialogue and discussion with everybody about our downtown. There are some differences in the film. You know, everybody thinks, oh, San Luis Obispo was a great downtown, it's wonderful, but it's something that we need to protect and cherish and watch out for, that we don't change into every town in America, because that could happen. And so I think we're looking for people to get together and talk about how can we keep our downtown the way it is. It's going to grow and change, and how we can work with that and grow with it in a positive way. And also for all the people that do have businesses downtown, power them to succeed. Because the downtown is so many things to different people. It's people's livelihoods. It's their homes. It's their source of culture in San Luis Obispo. And it's also a place for people to actually connect to each other. Mm-hmm. It means so many different things to so many different people. And how can we protect that?
So, Dominic, have you grown up in this area? You've been here a long time.
Yeah, I think I'm fifth or sixth generation in San Luis Obispo.
Yes. So, I mean, you've really, your family has seen this area go through multiple changes as it's kind of grown. And when I first moved here in 78, the downtown in San Luis Obispo looked very different than it does today.
Sure. No,
seriously. I mean, if and the reason I bring that point up is that when we're talking about some of what I think this, I have not seen the film, but some of what I think the film is addressing in terms of the reading that I was doing about it was when we discuss Flint, Michigan, or where you're talking about some of the inner cities changes during what you're talking about, Jules, which is kind of what has happened with a move away from downtowns in cities in America to suburbia, you know, as and then downtowns kind of became an area that people who couldn't move away stayed. And they kind of became not the best place to be in a lot of places in the U.S. And now there's a movement back toward it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And here we've had some changes, but we have a lot of people that have moved into this area since those things have really been worked on. So talk a little bit about before Farmers Market, which Downtown Association is really integral with, and that was really a huge change, right, for downtown?
Yeah, I mean, the Farmers Market really came out of a need to address, you know, the former cruise night, where we'd have vehicles going up and down our main streets cruising, and it didn't benefit the merchants downtown. Places like Jewel Shop would have been probably closed that night because it attracted people that were just really downtown hooping and hollering, having a good time, the younger population, and it didn't make sense for the businesses to stay open. There was no sense of community for the locals.
Mm-hmm. And people didn't want to go down and shop because they didn't want to deal with the cruisers.
Yeah, and I mean, we're always going to have that kind of mentality of, you know, the younger people make it unsafe, or it's not, you know, the environment that I want to be in.
It wasn't about that.
But it
was about business.
It was about business, absolutely.
Right.
But the businesses have to stay open, and right. and people have to come in and shop for them to stay open. And
right.
so if people don't feel comfortable or it's not their scene, they're not going to come down. Mm-hmm. They can. And at that time, we had a couple shopping malls that were trying to get started. You know, we still have I think it's now the Promenade off of Madonna.
Right.
But that draw was appealing because you didn't have people cruising through there. The downtown merchants at the time said, how do we get together and create a draw that brings those people back downtown and stops this cruise night?
Mm-hmm.
And so they literally put up barricades in the middle of the street and started doing sidewalk sales.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, gradually progressed to vendors selling their ware on the street and, you know, beach volleyball. And then a barbecue showed up. And then it was 1985, I believe it was, when we invited the Farmers Market Association to bring out their produce. And that's what, you know, everything really started to build momentum. And up until last year, 2014, 2015, our farmers market had continued to grow pretty steadily. And then we took a look at it and we said, well, you know, where are we at now? Where do we come from? And if you look at our market today, it's even different than it was 5 years ago. We've added a lot of more local-centered music and entertainment to draw our locals back in, because we noticed a lot of people from the surrounding areas, whether it's the Bay Area, the Southern California, or Bakersfield crowds, you know, flocking to our market, and our locals being pushed out. And so that was kind of the other side of the whole thing. Is it became so successful, we became a victim of our own success.
Yeah.
How do we get those locals back down where they're shopping in places like Jewel's, or buying produce from the farmers and building those relationships? And I think we're finally turning that corner with our market. But as you know, our downtown is still very much locally owned and, mm-hmm. and well-balanced from that standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think people may not remember the promenades you're talking about when Madonna Plaza really became...
Everybody was scared when that mall was going to be built up. It's going to kill downtown. And it amazes me how people don't realize, but you realize that mall was built and actually torn down because it didn't survive. But our downtown is...
There was a period of time where it made a lot of people... And there was a period of time in downtown where people were not able to easily establish and keep their businesses going, because we went through multiple recessions, mm-hmm. you know, which we do. We go through, you know, boon times, bad times. And it was tough for some of the businesses downtown.
It's still tough.
Yeah.
You know, people out there working. You talked about a lot of locally owned businesses. We are a definite mom and pop entity in downtown Los Angeles. But you walk down Higuera Street and you'll walk into any of those stores and you're going to see, you know, the owners right there working their shops. It's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they're all working hard, trying to make a living and so, you know, giving something great to our downtown, a great shop, a great restaurant, a wonderful environment, and also make a living.
And what is it, Jules, for you as a private shop owner who's got all this time invested in your shop that appeals to you about this particular film, this approach? That what do you want to see come out of this?
As I mentioned, dialogue and discussion, because...
With who?
With stakeholders, the community, to understand, not to take our downtown for granted. You know, it's so easy to shop online with Amazon. It's easy to go to the big box stores, but it's important for people to actually support the businesses that are downtown, offering a very unique experience. And that's what our world is looking for, is an experience. Mm-hmm. And we can offer that to people. So I want that as a part of it, for people to understand we have to support downtown to make it survive, for it to continue to be there for them. And then also the housing, bringing people to live downtown, and diversity. We need a diverse downtown as far as different types of businesses.
Yeah.
We all can't be yogurt shops. I mean, if we send our yogurt shop, you know, open up, everybody's eyes roll over. so we need a variety of things and creating balance. And we do need the chains, because they offer tax dollars and they offer a certain level of shopping to bring in certain people. And then we need the mom and pop. So I'm looking for people to just kind of focus on how they can help make downtown better and to help it survive.
How is it that you're a member of the Downtown Association? So how does the Downtown Association support this effort? I mean, how do you work with the shop owners? How do you collaboratively make these kinds of decisions? For example, I'm assuming it was a decision collectively when Cruise Night was happening, of the shop owners, the store owners, saying, we've got to do something here. And so this was kind of a think tank of, well, what about this?
Yeah, I think the market kind of grew organically out of a couple ideas that they say, hey, let's try this and see if it sticks. But in 1975, a group of business owners downtown got together and they said, hey, we need to do something about parking assessments, and we need to make sure that our district is well managed. And at that time, I would say they were visionaries, looking at parking being an important part of downtown. And mm-hmm. at the time, we already had meters, but we didn't have an organization of business owners advocating for that. And they also realized that they needed to do promotion, and they needed to add events downtown and keep downtown clean. And they formed what's known as a Business Improvement Association. And we've operated under those guidelines, a few minor revisions over the years, but we've operated under those guidelines with a board of directors that's elected from our actual membership. And Jules is one of our board members, has mm-hmm. been for the last 3 years. And collectively, they make those decisions, financial decisions, and business decisions as far as our organization is run. But within that, we have, I think right now we're up to 8 different committees that are working committees of membership that get together any given day of the week at our office, and they guide that board of directors with recommendations of how we should go forward. And so economic activities is our committee that brought this idea forward to the board and said, hey, we'd like to continue to bring this forward. Are you guys in support of that? And our board was unanimous on that.
Great. You are listening to Central Coast Voices here on KCBX, your public radio station. If you've just joined us, our topic today is the return to Main Street, how downtowns are once again becoming vibrant, desirable destinations to live, work, and play. My guests are Dominic Tartaglia, Executive Director for San Luis Obispo Downtown Association, and Jules DeRocher, a downtown business owner of Jules D., and the Economic Committee Chairwoman and a community leader. Today's show is live, and we invite you to join our discussion. If you have questions or comments about today's topic or today's guests, you can reach us on air at 805-781-3875. Again, that's 805-781-3875. Jules, when you were talking about what this film showed about kind of the movement away from downtowns, talk a little bit about that in the event that somebody doesn't see the film or isn't able to get to
it. Well, there's a history after the war, and I'm a little fuzzy on the exact facts, and Dominic will probably correct me. Please. But there was a lot.
He can jump in, and he will. I know Dom.
No, there was a lot of funding into roads and giving homes to all the men coming back from the war and getting them their own family home and a place for the families to live. And so what happened was all these roads were being developed to create suburbia outside of downtown. And so that kind of helped get people out of the downtown into the outskirts. And so driving all those families into the outskirts, and businesses arrived on the outskirts, so that donut hole effect happened because everybody left downtown. And then, like you said, it became empty, abandoned, dark, dirty. And so a lot of communities that you'll see in this film are trying to bring it back by moving back into the downtown because there's lower rents and opportunities to move their families back in close to where they're working. So you'll see some things that are different in this film from the existing downtowns that are happening to what we have. But I think they're good opportunities to talk about how we're better, how we can change, and how we can make improvements based on watching this film.
Okay. Let's take a call here. Marilyn, are you there? We're going to go ahead and continue because we're having a little bit of difficulty there. So with the move away, I think one of the things that happened, too, that you were speaking to, Jules, is that when people started to move out, the people that couldn't afford to move out tended to stay in the downtown area. There was, when moving out into suburbia, you needed to have car transportation. It was more costly for gas to move out. There wasn't necessarily the infrastructure that was built in for the transportation. And the businesses moved out of the downtown because as people left work,
there's no shoppers.
There's no shoppers. And people didn't want to stay in the downtown or go back into the downtown to work. So they wanted to be able to stay with their people on the outside. So we're going to go ahead and try a phone call here from Joe. Joe, are you there?
Yes, I am here. How are you? Good afternoon.
Very well. Thank you. Good. You had a question or comment?
I just wanted to lend my perspective. I multi-generational family in town. I know Dominic's family real well. Going over to Belmont here next week, I think. Nevada. Oh. Hey, anyway, I just wanted to say I'm almost sure that the Thursday night turned out, the business association, their businesses ended at 5 o'clock in the evening. So working families could not get into stores. Mm-hmm. And if you go back 20, 30, 35, 40 years back, there was a more robust, dare I say, community of churchgoers at the time, where Sunday was pretty much sacrosanct. And it is,
yes,
that they did not have stores open, and so it was kind of a push on the both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I love Thursday Night Cruise, and of course my parents, their perspective on it was the only night that they could go down Igara Marsh Street and do any shopping other
right.
than, you know, they were closed at 5.
Yeah, yeah, and see, that's how I remember it, too, is Thursday night was the night that they were open till 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I mean, the saying is you could fire a cannonball down Higuera Street and not hit anybody.
Right.
You're correct, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And thank you for that perspective, and you're right. They did raise Dominic to be a nice young boy.
well, I can vouch for that.
Thanks for calling, Joe.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye. And Marilyn, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome back. And you had a comment or question?
Yes, about parking. There used to be a lot across from Big Sky Cafe, and now they've eliminated that one. They've eliminated another one prior to that. But there's getting to be so little parking. I don't see how. I've even noticed that at Big Sky, they have less patrons because of losing that lot.
Mm-hmm.
But why are they eliminating parking in the city?
That's a good question. Dom.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty common dialogue that we have downtown. And I think to answer your question, it's more about better use of space. And when we look at parking lots downtown, their surface parking lots are across America are decreasing. And from the standpoint of it's not a very efficient use for that space. And so when you go up with a vertical parking structure, you absorb the lack of parking that you would maybe lose if you changed the parking lot to something else. And in that case, we're looking at increasing that utilized space by adding in a hotel and some other different businesses and creating more draw for people to be coming down there. And I think a lot of times people get frustrated that they can't park in that same spot. But what we're hoping people will do is continue to come downtown and use our parking structures a little bit more. And, you know, the one thing about using a parking structure as opposed to parking on the street or parking in a surface lot is you're not going to get a $33 parking ticket if you maybe forget to put money in the meter or something like that. And so we're hoping that more people will start adopting that attitude. And because we are losing parking, we've been strongly advocating for years now, and hopefully you're going to see it in the next 2 years, a new parking structure at Palm and Napomo Streets. But that's a cultural change that's happening across America. San Luis Obispo just happens to be maybe a little bit more progressive in the amount of parking that we're supplying already.
So there is going to be a parking structure down at that end of town? Because right now all the parking structures are at the other end.
Yeah.
And at the other end and you have a long walk, and then it gets discouraging, and then you decide, well, let's go to another restaurant that actually has parking. So yeah, I think it hurts right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're definitely hurting right now. There's no question.
Yeah.
And the Palm to Pomo, the exciting thing about that is that it hopefully brings some energy to the southern part of our downtown. That's why we've been pushing so hard, because Jules' shop is actually right down
right.
there.
And, you know, it's like when I go to the city, San Francisco or Santa Barbara, I know there's no parking, and I know to go to a structure. I've already educated myself, and I leave my car there.
Right.
And it's kind of re-educating people the same thing in San Luis Obispo. I need to just go to a structure
mm-hmm.
And then be able to walk to where I want to go. And that's another thing that's great about our community. People are walking. They're healthier. They're slimmer. You can look at the physical attributes of the individuals in our city versus other towns. We are a slimmer demographic because we're out there walking and moving.
And the film definitely highlights that. It shows some graphic representations of urban areas against maybe suburban areas and the obesity rates. And it's pretty amazing to see how that fits in.
You've seen me driving around for that one parking space
that's right in front of the shop. You're not going to park right in front of where you want to be.
Right.
And
yeah.
so, but that's also then it gets you out walking and enjoying downtown and connecting with other individuals.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for helping me. Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn.
Bye.
Bye. So there is going to be something. How do you have an anticipation of what the target date is for that parking
Not right
structure?
Now. As far as I know, we're out. The city is out for economic or environmental impact report study, and so we should be getting some of that stuff back this fall. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's been in the works for our downtown concept physical plan since the early 90s when that was first drafted, to have parking structures on the periphery corners of downtown so that people would be able to walk 3 to 4 blocks at most to any point in downtown from a parking structure.
Yeah.
And so it's exciting to see that one of those corners is being tied in. And that right now, that's the parking lot that's over by Mission College Prep.
Okay. Okay. And, you know, it does make sense to me that walking is healthier. And there's also the dynamic that there are a lot of people in America that are living longer and they're aging. And so the fact that they cannot also needs to be addressed.
Yeah, and that's a huge concern with regard to parking and right. an ongoing discussion as well. And if you look at our parking structures, some of the earlier parking structures, we'll say the first one built on Palm Street doesn't necessarily have the same design that we have now.
Right.
Now when we look at our parking structures, and I'm sure the Palm to Pomo structure that gets built will be designed the same way, but we're looking at a flat level lot.
You know, I was so just you thinking can, that because that incline yeah. can be tough for people.
Yeah, and that's all the forward-thinking
right.
Benefit of right. looking at all the different communities. That I mean, when we talk about San Luis Obispo's downtown, we really are looking at Main Street America. We're in a group of other organizations that are all talking to each other.
Right, right. And I do think if we look at the other cities, you know, and the downtowns, because there are a number of communities around San Luis Obispo that do have vibrant downtowns that they've been working on. The biggest issues that they have are parking.
Absolutely.
You know, and the biggest issues they have is that the places that you end up parking are in front of people's houses.
Yeah, and I would go further, and I'd say it's not necessarily the parking that's the problem. It's the perception of parking. Mm-hmm. And you'll hear it in any urban environment. The planners and the managers, like myself, we say it's a perception issue because there tends to be parking. It's just maybe not the way that people have always been able to park on the main street, or maybe able to park for free, or not have to walk so far. And we're careful to plan so that it doesn't change dramatically mm-hmm. or too drastically, but we are trying to change that culture. There's been a lot of studies by a lot of people that are much more educated than I am that on this issue that suggest that the parking structures are really the way to go, and the mm-hmm. surface parking lot. I mean, mm-hmm. if you think about it, you only have 50 parking spots on a surface lot, but if you go 3 stories, now you have room for 150 people to park downtown.
Right, right.
And you're not putting people parking in front of, you know, in front of your house in your neighborhood.
Right.
And you come home from work and have nowhere to park.
Right.
So, I mean, there's nothing more frustrating than driving around downtown all day looking for a parking spot and then coming home and then not being able to park in front of your house either.
And you mentioned, Jules, you mentioned San Francisco. One of the things that San Francisco does have is parking. You know, I tried living in San Francisco. Parking is absolutely astronomically
oh, the
a
price
disaster. the price is mm-hmm. unbelievable. But, you know, as a visitor there, finding parking is no problem. You can find parking. The other thing that's an adjunct to that is they do have a mode of transportation that is really easy to hop on and go to that'll take you from a distant parking if you need assistance to go to the downtown, to anywhere you want, through the trolley system or through some other systems. And here in San Luis, you've got the little trolley thing. Is that well utilized?
If you try to get on a Thursday night during the market, you're going to be waiting in a line.
Yeah.
Other nights, it's not as successful, and that's something that I know that the transit program is trying to get more ridership on there. And mm-hmm. and Slow Transit has been really pushing a lot for ridership. I mean, this is probably one of the banner years for them as far as the ridership being increased. The trolley is maybe a little bit lack on that. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to bring that up as well.
Is that something that you guys are looking at when you're looking at how to vitalize, how to keep things going in terms of parking, getting people access?
Bicycles.
Yeah. Access
people
in general.
People who can actually, you know, yeah. who can bike to work, that are working downtown mm-hmm. or taking the bus.
Okay.
Yeah, we're really looking at how we can improve general access.
Okay, great. We're going to – Ed, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hello. Do you have a question or comment?
I have a comment and a question. First of my comment is directed to Jules. Yes. I salute you and your husband for having the courage to open up a store in this environment. There is no store like Jules D on the Central Coast like yours. Congratulations. I hope we have more stores like yours. But my question is to the whole panel, looking into your crystal ball, do you see more individualistic brands as opposed to chain stores in downtown? Is that the trend?
I think it's going to be both. I mean, I really would, my heart and soul is with the individual, unique business owner, and just coming across something that's unexpected that we don't see everywhere. And of course, as you know, with what's changing, what's coming into Chinatown in the next few months with the bigger brands, and it's we need both.
Yeah,
is what we really need, and it's the diversity of it.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of goes along with that marketing idea that, you know, if you just put in one hamburger stand, you don't do as well as if you put in a couple of
yeah.
them. Yeah, because people will go back and forth, and they're drawn to one because they may have a preference, but they may try the other. And, yeah, it works.
I love what Jules said there about finding the unexpected downtown with the individual retail.
Yeah.
Because if you're never going to find a Jules D, well, maybe you will someday. I don't know. I don't know what your plans are to grow. But you often don't find those company brands in other communities, and it makes it so special and unique to that area. It gives character. And when we talk about the downtown experience, that's what it is. It's mm-hmm. walking in and getting to meet the proprietor of that business and being able to discuss their product and hear their life story of how they made it there. And you'll see that in this film, too. They have several people that tell the same story. And it's really exciting once you get to realize that these people are truly passionate about being downtown. They mm-hmm. chose to be there.
One of the things that I do hear, and I've been involved in a number of special events, but in the last couple of years I've been involved in a special event that is a cycling event that has drawn from people not only all over the country, but has drawn from people internationally. And they have been staying longer in the areas so that they could tour more of the Central Coast, but because they've really enjoyed it. And I hear from them how much they feel the richness of shopping in areas and being in the different downtowns and the different cities on the Central Coast, but shopping because they like the friendliness of it, not the bigness of it in terms of the, you know, what they like is the personal touch of it. And I think you do get that with more of a more intimate downtown. So, you know, kudos to you. Definitely, I agree with you, Ed. Jules and people like Jules do a great job. Did you have anything else?
I prize the ambiance of downtown San Luis Obispo, and I do give credit to people who do put themselves out there like Jules, and I appreciate them. I hope to see more businesses like that. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Ed. You're listening to KCBX, your public radio station at 90.1 San Luis Obispo, 91.7 Salinas to Paso Robles, 89.5 Santa Barbara, and around the world at kcbx.org. The documentary film Urban Century, America's Return to Main Street, examines the current revitalization of Main Street America, the significance that downtowns play in their communities, and the possibility that they may be the key to economic prosperity moving forward. My guests today to share their perspective on that conversation as it applies to San Luis Obispo are Dominic Tartaglia, Executive Director, San Luis Obispo Downtown Association, Jules DeRocher, owner of Jules D in Downtown SLO, and the Economic Committee Chairwoman and Community Leader here in San Luis Obispo. We'd love for you to add your voice to our conversation today to share your thoughts or questions. You can do that by calling us at 805-781-3875. One more time, 805-781-3875. And we're going to take a call from Kalise. Did I say your name right, Kalise?
Kalise? Hello.
Hello.
Hi, it's Haley.
Oh, Haley's.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's okay. I'm sorry about that. Did you have a question or a comment?
I had kind of a concern.
Okay.
You guys are talking about, like, how suburbia, like, got started and how more like upper class kind of people moved into suburban areas because they could afford it, and how you're trying to start a resurgence of people moving into the downtown area.
No, but, resurgence of downtown.
Huh?
A resurgence of downtown?
Yeah, and like someone had mentioned, like more people moving into the area, like to boost the economy. But like I'm from like a lower class family, and it's already really hard to find like housing in mm-hmm. the downtown area of SLO. It's kind of expensive just for like a studio apartment.
Yep.
And I feel like it's just like kind of a fancy way of saying gentrification.
It is gentrification in some cities. Absolutely.
In some cities, it is. I was just in Brooklyn, and Brooklyn is going under huge gentrification. But that's, I think, what we're actually working to prevent. We're more concerned about working force housing being provided in the downtown so people like Haley can actually work and live in the environment that they work in.
But is it really affordable, Dominic?
Right now, it's not. And that's what we're advocating really strongly for. You'll see in one of the panel following the film, several people in there are advocating for that. But one individual in particular is very much involved with the U40 movement, which is the under 40 population of our community that's really pushing for housing and looking at affordable by design, you know, things that are not built extravagant for the sake of just being able to sell them and make a buck, but building it so that people like myself can actually afford to live in the community. And I think one of the most amazing images I've ever seen is being up on top of Cerro San Luis in the middle of winter when it's dark in the mornings, when it's early. And this is back before the ban of hiking at night, by the way.
right, Dominic.
But being able to look south and look north, and you know, you look north, you see Cuesta Grade, and you look south, you see the Pismo Straits, and you see nothing but headlights coming into San Luis Obispo.
Correct.
Those are all people driving from all over the county that work in San Luis, and then in the evening, seeing those taillights going back.
And the only place there's traffic jams.
Exactly. To me, that's extremely depressing. Mm-hmm. And we see it on 227 as well. But that's really depressing that we have people that can't even afford to live in the environment where they work.
Right.
And I think when we're looking at downtown, this is, in my opinion, the spot where we can actually build places that people can live. Now, it might not be the post-World War II lot where it's 6,000 square foot lot with a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house and a 2-car garage and the lawn. But we're also seeing a lot of people that don't really feel that they need that old style of house. They're looking for a place where they can live downtown, and they don't need to have the yard because they have open space around them. And they don't need a big living room because they can go meet people at the local bar or the park down the street or the coffee shop. And if you watch the film, they'll talk about, you know, the differences between TV shows that were watched in, you know, the
70s,
the war.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
60s,
so you got the
70s,
Brady Bunch going,
right.
and that typical, you know, big leafy lot.
Right.
And then you look at my generation, I'm going to be a little bit, I don't know, millennial, out of the millennial. I don't know where I am there. but if you look at the shows that we grew up with, it was Friends and How I Met Your Mother, and it shows that it's cool and it's hip to be downtown. But that's where things are going on.
Right.
I'm not saying that we're going to have 20-story buildings with, you know, apartments crammed in there, but I think if we are going to increase our housing, I would like to see things that are not necessarily using virgin agricultural soil, but maybe looking at the infill projects. You know, this parking lot that Marilyn mentioned earlier, that could be a better housing facility than maybe just an asphalt lot.
And as Halise is saying, if they're affordable. Right now, what we're talking about, I mean, in true honesty, the developments that are going up right now with the housing that's over the retail, they're not affordable for the average person. They're really not.
And that's part of our thing is about bringing people to this film, like developers and planners, to understand that we need a variety of living accommodations for people at different price points.
Yes.
And also even the retail restaurant developments. 20,000 square foot business spaces don't work well in downtown when it sits empty for 5 years. And it's the same thing with housing. You know, building smaller workforce housing with smaller footprints for people to live in town. And that's what we're looking for, people to come to this event so that there's this discussion to understand what are people looking for and wanting and needing in our downtown.
Yeah.
And it's also giving us an opportunity for someone like Haley to come and be a part of that conversation. We're actually asking – that's why we're having this panel. We're asking people from the community to come in because they might not feel that they have a voice otherwise.
Well, so let's talk a little – and thank you for calling, Hayleys. Let's talk a little bit about who's on the panel.
Sure. Okay. I'll go ahead and talk about it.
I can't talk about them. I don't know them.
I'll run through it in our alphabetical order because that's the easiest way to go. I think we have an A, B, C, and F.
Okay.
And we picked the panel to represent different segments of what we're looking for conversation.
Yeah, our Economic Activities Committee spent quite a bit of time kicking around ideas of who represents the different spectrums that are represented in downtown. And just to start off, we have Aaron Gomez, who is the co-owner of a family-owned business. His father had the business before him, and his brother own it now. And they own the Gold Concept downtown. It's a jewelry and design shop.
It's been there a long time.
Been there for a very long time, since 1971.
Mm-hmm.
And so a very similar story to me and how I got involved in downtown was a family business. But Aaron moved back to San Luis Obispo, got involved with the business, and has been really involved. He was the individual I was talking about with the U40. He's been involved in some different environmental issues, housing issues, very much a passionate business owner in our downtown. And so he brings in that younger generation of business owner, the younger demographic, as well as a local and just very grounded individual that's think it provide a very good voice to the panel.
And what I refer to as the first floor street level business, they're down the trenches. They are experiencing what's happening, and that's why we kind of picked him. Like you said, second generation, so he's new, but also he has the experience of his past generation to show understanding the history of downtown.
Right, right.
Yeah, and I think Joe mentioned earlier how downtown was closed on Sundays. Well, Aaron usually is in his shop designing on Sunday, and you would actually be able to walk in and be able to meet he and his brother
at
the
shop. Design, yeah.
Yeah. Next, we have Christine Theodoropoulos, who is the Dean of Architecture and Design Engineering at Cal Poly, and we're excited to have her there because she has obviously her academic experience and background, but she's also a downtown resident and an older, more mature demographic than Aaron. Living in one of our mixed-use projects, and it's actually the name of the project is The Mix, and it's on Monterey and Johnson. And so she's bringing in that maturity, the academia, as well as she actually walks the walk and talks the talk. She lives in
She's
downtown.
A resident, and that's why we truly wanted to hear her voice is why we selected her.
Yeah, and I think someone who's lived in the big city and moved to San Luis Obispo and still wanted to be in that urban center, that's a really cool perspective. Following Christine, we have Derek Johnson, who is our assistant city manager for the city of San Luis Obispo, and he brings in a whole different spectrum of working in the nonprofit sectors before becoming involved with public sector. He's worked as a long-range planning planner for other communities, as well as our head of our planning department in San Luis Obispo, and now is serving as our assistant city manager and family man. He's kind of in between the boomers and the millennials. He crosses a lot of spectrums there, but he's also just very much involved in the community outside of just his job. And then following that, we have Mark Rawson, who many people may not know the name, but they definitely would recognize the projects he's designed. He's a local architect and represents the Copeland Properties downtown. So the downtown center, the Court Street project, and what's in process. Monterey Street actually just opened up yesterday, but it's Chinatown. And so he's been very much involved in the design of those things, but also in the programming of those. People may or may not be aware of the fact that the Chinatown project is actually housing about 38 Cal Poly students and another segment of Cal Poly Hot House, as well as retail and what we'll call hospitality, but coffee and cafe type business in all of those projects. And I think someone that has the vision to bring all that kind of together with a combination of chain and local retailers really is rounds out the panel.
Great. And for people who attend this is on Wednesday, August 10th. There is no cost to attend it.
It's free to attend. It's at the Fremont, and our doors will open at 6 p.m. The movie will start at 7 p.m. sharp, and then following that, we'll have a panel discussion with these panelists.
So are they going to be presenting kind of from their perspective, or is the panel discussion Q&A with the audience asking questions?
It'll be a Q&A. They'll have an opportunity to kind of to provide a brief comment on their perception of the film, and then we'll open it up to the audience for questions, and we'll have index cards so that members of the audience can fill out their questions and pass them up, and we can keep things flowing. And because we do have a limited time that we can actually have this discussion tonight, but I think the exciting part is this event actually kicks off a series of conversations that Jules and I have been, and our committee have been talking about for probably the last year, wouldn't you say, Jules?
Oh, at least.
And what's your vision for this, of getting the community involved? This is the first step, and if you could see into the future of where you want it to be, what is it?
An ideal situation, which is probably not realistic, but I like to have a better idea of where we want to go as a downtown, and let's have some control. I mean, let's just not be this wild animal that develops to something that nobody wants. Mm-hmm. You look at Santa Barbara, the people that live there, that place was overtaken by just too many chain stores. And so I just hope that we can have some control in helping our growth and guiding it, so that when developers do come, they're not just making what they want to make. Mm-hmm. They're making something that is going to help our community and help our downtown.
So you're looking at it from the perspective of a retailer.
I definitely look
you
at it from
are.
A business. Well, and I also, this is my home. Downtown is my home. It's where my social aspect is. It's my family. It's my friends. And so it means more than just my business, mm-hmm. but I definitely have that skew on it. But I walk up and down those streets every day, and I just cherish it. Mm-hmm. I just cherish it. It is definitely a beautiful little jewel of our Central Coast, and I think it needs protecting because there's so many other places out there that have changed for not the good.
Yeah. You are listening to Central Coast Voices on KCBX-FM, Central Coast Public Radio Station from Salinas to Ventura, and online at kcbx.org. The documentary we've been talking about is the film Urban Century, America's Return to Main Street. And I'm talking today with Dominic Tartaglia, the executive director for the Downtown Association in San Luis Obispo, Jules DeRocher, downtown business owner of Jules D, and the economic committee chairwoman, and also community leader here in San Luis Obispo. We have about 15 minutes left in today's show. If there are questions about the topic we're talking about today that are not addressed, or if you have a comment you want to make, you can still reach out to us at 805-781-3875. Again, that's 805-781-3875. We were talking before we came on the air. Before moving here in the 70s, I lived in San Jose. And so when we talk about what happened with downtown, of it just kind of getting to a place that this film addresses for other cities, of where it just really wasn't vital, San Jose did that. The downtown in San Jose, before it just really got extremely dismal. It, by the way, had a problem with Cruise Night, too. I was part of that one. But it had First Street and Second Street cruising. And it had like a Woolworths that was downtown. It really started to get bad. But it now is so different. They're also extremely unaffordable in the downtown. What they have built downtown is a combination of putting together amazing restaurants, retail that's downtown. They do have small shop owners that have gone into the downtown, hotels that have gone into the downtown. It looks nothing like what it looked like. They brought in foliage. It's beautiful. They've got, the sports arenas that's down there. And they put in high rise, like you've talked about, for condensed living, because they've had to go up. They haven't been able to go out. But they never did it with a vision of trying to keep it so that multiple different kinds of incomes could access the downtown in terms of the livability of it. Is that something that is in the discussion?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't have people working downtown and commuting in every day. That's just not a sustainable thing. It impacts your parking, having people that
the
are
amount of gas money that people spend to drive over the grade into town working. It's just nuts.
Single occupant commuters are not ideal for a downtown. What we want to see is more people using, if they're coming in from other areas, using the public transit to get here. And you know, there's ongoing discussions about improving our public transit and access to the downtown. And
so that's part of the conversation as well.
Yeah. And it might not be discussed in this film
explicitly,
but they do mention bikes and the cost of driving a vehicle and the environmental impacts of that. But, yeah, I mean, we're absolutely looking at that stuff. I think it's important to look, you know, San Jose is a perfect example of what you're talking about. Is it's not exclusive to San Jose. It's not exclusive to San Luis Obispo. It's, you can see it all across the country of people that were, you know, maybe had enough perspective to look back on history and say, okay, this is what made our Main Street great back then, but this is the era that we're living in now. And then taking another step further and looking forward another 20, 25 years and saying, this is what's going to be coming in downtown. And for us, that's why we're looking at housing right now, is we're going to have a place to house people. And in San Luis Obispo, I think we're blessed that we have so much open space around us that's protected. We just finished our land use circulation element, and it's the general plan protects our open spaces. Actually, was protecting open space was the highest priority in the last city planning. So there was nothing in there that said that we were going to go up, but it didn't say where we were going to grow. And we do have to grow as a community.
Yeah.
So how do we do that? And I think the discussions that we're hoping to have with the community, and it will help with that dialogue.
The thing that's always pondered me about building for affordable housing is that when you look at the cost of the developer, you know, to the developers of permit fees and everything that they need to do, whether it's from California or from the counties, you know, that needs to be part of the equation too. I know this sounds, I may be talking to the choir here, obviously, but that needs to be obviously part of the discussion as well. If you've got somebody who can build property, how do you ask them to build property when you can make X number dollars on it, or why number dollars, unless they're truly coming from a place of, you know, generosity?
I think
there's different ways to build housing, like smaller footprints, like you were talking, and maybe
smaller,
right? And not with all the extravagances that we all think we need. And so I think it's a balance on that,
and we need to start selling that.
Yeah.
Of not bigger is better. And we're going to invite Shauna into this conversation. Shauna, are you there?
I am.
Hi. You have a question or comment? Hi.
Hi. Well, I've lived in San Luis Obispo since the early 70s. My parents were the first businesses to go into the creamery on Highgare Street.
Oh, cool.
Before it was just the old creamery building. And then they built the Phoenix building up the next block. And had businesses there. I just got done working for almost 9 years with People Self-Help Housing, which is a very important company to nonprofit that builds affordable housing in San Luis Obispo County, in Ventura County, Santa Barbara County. They're very well known locally. Jeanette Duncan started nonprofit housing back in like 76, 75. I don't remember the date, but they do. I would answer a lot of the questions that the federal money that can come in to building housing. I just want to mention that we've had decades and decades of very proactive people involved in city government. The last San Francisco city manager, Bill Statler, the finance manager, the money for years and years, did dedicated work. And this whole very notion of building within the infrastructure of the town, keeping outside land free, like you mentioned, had to do with a lot of these people that were involved for decades. And it's one of the reasons San Luis Obispo is such a great town still.
I absolutely agree with that.
I think we have to look and make sure that we are always communicating about our strong history in this area, always going to those people to refer to, and the history of what we've already been developing, and keep the dialogue very, very open with everybody, and realize how many dedicated people there have been in the last 50 years I've been in the area to exactly what you're pursuing.
That's great. And thank you, Shauna, for your comments.
Yeah, I think it's funny that she brings up the creamery, because that's a story that my dad always told me about, was, you know, taking, because we used to have a dairy, and
right.
going in the into the creamery with a truckload of cream from our dairy, and you know that changed, and it's neat to hear a business owner, and that's what we see in downtown. You know, the only constant is change, and we have to change those stories, but we preserve the historical context of those buildings, and that legacy goes on, and it's what makes it hip and makes it cool.
Yeah, and it's nice that's going to be revitalized too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and real quickly, Fred, we have just maybe a minute. Did you want to just make a comment?
I'm the architect that actually designed the last Marsh Street Garage addition.
Uh-huh.
Oh, cool.
And was heavily involved in the 1990s in the plan, the Chinatown that's now underway with Copeland's. So I'm just calling to say I live in Santa Barbara, so don't make the mistakes we've made here. But I would encourage you as a community, it's a wonderful place. I was born there. It's near to my heart. I would encourage you to continue the work that was laid down in the 90s in terms of that master plan that was a poster that's in a lot of people's offices, and continue to work on that. I'm just really excited that you guys are moving forward.
Oh, thank you, Fred, and thanks for calling in and those comments.
Yes.
Really appreciate it. And thanks for your work on the structure.
Yes. Well, it's a little piece contributing back to my hometown.
All right. Fantastic.
So, okay. All right.
Bye. Bye-bye. So, again, the movie is Urban Century, America's Return to Main Street. It is going to be free at the Fremont Theater on August 10th. It starts at 7 p.m. The doors will open at 6 p.m. Anybody is welcome to attend.
It's like a social networking opportunity too. We'll be having beverages and wine and beer, and so it's a fun event also.
Yeah, it's
in
not
addition
just
to the hardcore conversation,
not just having not just being schooled.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. We're hoping that people can make a date night out of it, and maybe go grab dinner before the movie, and then enjoy the conversation.
We just wanted to stimulate people's ideas and thoughts, and to get them excited about our downtown, and remember why they love downtown, and what a beautiful thing we have, and to help what we can do to keep it going.
Fantastic. And I want to thank my guest for today's show, Dominic Tartaglia, Executive Director for San Luis Obispo Downtown Association, Jules DeRocher, a downtown business owner of Jules D, and the Economic Committee Chairwoman for the Downtown Association and a community leader. And everyone who called in with their comments and questions today, thank you for that. Next week, Fred Monroe will be hosting Kathy Orton, Resource Development Director, and Pete Scarda, Advocate Supervisor for CASA, as they discuss the important work that CASA does in the community to recruit, train, and supervise volunteers who advocate for abused and neglected children within the court system to ensure each and every child grows up in a safe, nurturing, and permanent home. Central Coast Voices is sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities in for the San Luis Obispo Community Foundation in collaboration with KCBX, and made possible by the underwriting by Joan Geller Sargent. We welcome your comments about the existing show and also suggestions for future show topics and guests. You can submit your comments to email us at voices@kcbx.org. I'm Chris Kington Barker. Remember, you can attend Urban Century, America's Return to Main Street, August 10th at the Fremont Theater. We will have Fred next week, and I want to thank you for joining me on Central Coast Voices.